Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on Zion of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is November 30, 2024. It is the 29th day of Sister 2028. We're going to start our first service today, and with the dealing with world's history and prophetic symbols. We're going to start that today, and that will be in the Shepherd's Rod book of E.T. Holler. Okay, we're going to name of our sermon is going to be the two-horned beast of Revelation 13:11-18. We're on page 108 of the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. For those that are following along, as John beheld the vision with intense interest, his attention was directed unto another striking object, and beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Revelation 13:11. Just about the time the second and last stage of the nondescript beast was to terminate, another earthly power was to come upon the stage of the action, according unto the vision. It is wonderful to note how accurate the symbols are, even unto their proper time and order. For the beast having a lamb-like horns, promise of a of the growth is an unimaginable symbol of a nation. Oh no, it's an unmistakable. For the beast having a lamb-like horns, promise of the growth is an unmistakable symbol of a nation slowly arising as from a small plan to a mighty empire. Okay, a lamb-like is a descriptive of the government arising in 1776 A.D. See the Great Controversy, page 439. 441. Before this beast has been accepted as a symbol of the United States, therefore our intention is not to bring forth effects pertaining unto its application. Our aim is, as previously stated, to briefly connect one beast with another by the throwing light upon the symbols which have not been understood. It will be noticed that every beast representing the New Testament time has 10 horns, except this one. We repeat that the 10 horns stand as a symbol of the universal systems. This fact proves that the 2-horned beast represents a local government, as the civil powers are governments are symbolized by the horns. This particular beast having two horns. It is evident that the nation represented by this symbol shall have a double form of the government. Let's do it again. Shall have a double form of their government. As John says, for the beast spake as a dragon. For it clearly reveals that it is for the repudiating of its constitution, and for the Yahweh-given liberty of its subjects will be taken away. According unto the Revelation 13:12, this power is for the initiating of the beast before him. And I'll say it again. According unto the Revelation 13:12, this power is for the imitating of the beast before him, for the papal, with the papal rule. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. If this great nation should presume upon the conscience of its subjects by the legislation as to how they may or may not worship, it would be contrary unto the provisions in its constitution. Speaking as a dragon, quoting the United States Constitution, the First Amendment concerning the religious matters, the states Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of the religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If this country should repudiate this amendment, it will completely meet the symbolical specifications of the two-horned beast. For the following verse discloses the fact that the old dragon shall exercise his power for the deceiving as many as possible, and he doeth, and the death, that's the, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of the men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:13-14. Thus he has exercised persecutive powers as well as the working of the miracles. As the word exposes this great deception, one would think that the world would open its eyes and refuse to be charmed by such satanic wonders. Satanic wonders. But the Satan knows that the people are unmindful of the word of Yahweh, and that their emotions are easily moved by the super natural, by the supernatural marvels and the eloquence of men. Therefore, he will perfect the contrivance, and many will fall into it regardless of the wonder of the warning, for the human mind cannot comprehend that mysterious and irresistible power that is assumed to spread its dreadful shadows over the inhabitants of the earth. No mortal being can stand against such supernatural civil and religious system. Okay. Those who are students of the Word, trusting in the Yahweh without the reservation, and thus filled with the Holy Spirit, will escape that dreadful trap. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful testimonies for the church. Volume 5, page 53. Their only safety will be, thus saith the Yahweh, for they must look unto the Yahweh as their only deliverer. Well, Yahshua is actually their only deliverer by his blood, the Son of Yahweh, but they both work together. So the Father and the Son are the only deliverers of Yahweh's people, Israel, as did the three Hebrews in the ancient Babylon, and as the Babylon in the lion's den, let the consequence be what it may. Yahweh's people can find shelter only in the taking of the position of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As when they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, for if it be so, for our father, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:16-18. Yahweh's people, with the Daniel, will be able to say at the time of their deliverance, my Yahweh has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel 6:22. In such time of the trial it shall be clearly seen who will serve Yahweh and who will not. That time of the trouble shall divide the earth's inhabitants of the two separate and distinct classes of sheep and goats. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and care and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that he and no man that no man may buy nor sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:15-17. For this drastic decree of the two-horned beast shall be adopted by the nations of the world, and the image of the beast, which will demand obedience unto an ecclesiastical form of the worship, will be the internationally set up. For the mark of the beast is in the Sunday observance with the one pretext or another. For the careless and indifferent will worship the image of the beast. Okay. Okay, it says, so it says, where the careless and the indifferent will worship the beast, image of the beast, and receive the mark. Only those who have fortified themselves with the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, in his blood, knowledge of his word, so, and obedience unto the divine precepts, and through the sanctification of the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be able to escape the clutches of the devil. When the Yahweh's people are restrained from the buying and the selling, for their only source of the sustenance will be through the divine providence, one way or another. For that short time, Yahweh will provide and care for his people. But it may be in a similar circumstance as in the wilderness journey. For the time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced to seek a refuge in the desolate and solitary places, as the siege of the Jerusalem by the Roman armies was a signal for the flight to the Judean as Christian, so the assumption of the power on the part of our nation and the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning unto us. It will then be time for the leaving of the large cities, preparatory for the leaving of the smaller ones, for the retired homes and the secluded places among the mountains. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 465. Well, I'm happy to announce that in 1 Peter 1:19 it says, "Ye have also a more sure word of prophecy, that ye do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart." So if you understand and follow the sure word of prophecy, then you don't have to believe none of this stuff. That's just like I'm reading right now. I've been told this all my life when I was in the Adventist church. Well, the day's coming, we're going to have to flee to the rocks of the mountain, and we're going to have to hide out for a while. But the angels are going to come and defend us, and they're going to, when the enemy finally catches up to us, there's nothing in prophecy that teaches that. I've never found anything in the prophecy in the Bible that teaches that. So, what do we do? We also have a more sure word of the prophecy that you do well, that you take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. For people that believe in this stuff without Bible prophecy backing it up, they're in a dark place. They say, well, where are we going to go? They can't go to prophecy and say, well, where do we go from here when this happens? They don't know how. They don't know how. They've never been used to doing that. So they just take somebody's words and say, well, you're going to have to feed the rocks in the mountain. Okay. So it says, for the 18th verse of the Revelation 13 will be explained in another study. Alright, the scarlet colored beast is our next subtitle for our study today. Is our number 2 title. Revelation 17. How interesting. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of the blaspheming, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation 17:3. For this particular beast cannot be a symbol of the Rome, as some have thought. For the first reason is that the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7, as previously explained, is a symbol of the Rome, and is seen coming up from the sea. Verily, the scarlet colored beast, John says, was in the desert. Therefore, the forces that brought the scarlet colored beast on the stage of the action is the opposite of that which produced the nondescript beast. For the second reason is, as the angel was about to show the vision unto the John, he said unto him, come hither, and I will show thee of the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Revelation 17:1. Then John was carried away into the wilderness, and there he saw the woman riding upon the beast. For the vision is given for the showing of him of the judgment of the woman. Only she is not judged in the days of the Rome, for her judgment is yet in the future and will be executed with the loud cry. Angel of the Revelation 18. See verses 8 and 10. For the riding on the beast is here, is her last act. Therefore, the Beesmith represent the period in which she is judged. For there is a third reason why the beast cannot be a symbol of the realm. For the book of the Daniel and the book of the Revelation were written especially for the generation living at the time of the end, and not so much for the Roman world. See Daniel 12:4. For they had no understanding of the writings that pertained unto the last days, and this could not have profited by them. Therefore, if it would have been improper and unwise on the part of the Yahweh, by the applying of all the beasts unto the Rome, and leave the period unto that of the books, and apply without the symbolical representation. For we believe that there must be more of the complete symbolical information for this present generation than for any previous one. Thus it is very inconsistent and unreasonable that those who have applied the leopard like beast of the Revelation 13 and the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation 17 and the addition unto the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7 as symbols of the Rome. Why so many symbols of the Rome and none of the period for which the books were written? Furthermore, there are no facts to support such claims. For the greatest rebuke for such assertion and that they derive the same lesson from one beast as they do from the other. If there is no special lesson in each of them, why are they given? For the applying of the heads, as they do the horns, the symbols of the government shows that they had no light from the great and all-wise Yahweh. If each term means government, why did inspiration use both horns and heads? Note how unreasonable it is to apply the woman riding on the beach for the sitting on the heads unto the Catholicism and the New Testament time, and the heads to seven consecutive forms of the government in the Old Testament period. Said the angel, for the seven heads are the seven mountains on the which the woman sitteth, Revelation 17:9. If the papal church came into the existence in 508 A.D., How could she sit on any government century before? Again, if the heads succeeded each other, where is the proof? Are they not all present on the beast and the woman sitting on them? As the scarlet-coated beast by his 10 horns and 7 heads proves to be universal, for the successive chain of the beast, the lion, bear, four-headed leopard, nondescript, and leopard alike, make it impossible for the announcing of the universal beast in the interest of their unbreakable chain of the 5 links. Such an act would be an attempt to overthrow prophecy and history. Therefore, as the only period he can possibly represent would be the one after the deadly wound of the leopard-like is healed, becoming a 6th universal beast. Since the scarlet color is the last in the symbolical procession of the beast, he must possess all of the characteristics of his ancestors. For the 10 horns of the nondescript beast, and of the 7 heads of the leopard alike, and of his own unharmed heads, is with the showing that he comes on the stage of the action after the deadly wound was healed. For his scarlet color denotes curse, as it does on the dragon, the devil, and the Revelation 12:3. And the words go into the perdition, Revelation 17:11, reveal that he is to bring this world unto an end by a curse that will result in the entire ruin utter destruction, future misery, or eternal death. With the standard dictionary of writing, therefore, if this beast represents our world at the present time, would it not be unwise on the part of the Yahweh if it should have neglected for the foreseeing of the present day multiplicity of the sex and the great confusion among the Christendom, if the symbols by this beast fail to reveal the true condition of the churches, as the nondescript beast tells the fall of the church in the period he represents, so must the scarlet color. And the fact this is the principal reason why these prophetic beasts are presented. For the scarlet-colored beast is the last symbolical beast in the continuous chain of the historical events. This beast does not arise from the sea like the beast before it, that was seen in the wilderness. Therefore, the scarlet-colored beast is created by an historical incident, unlike the beast before it. The symbol denotes that it is not strife and wars between the nations that brings this beast upon the stage of the action, but rather a principle that is the opposite of the symbol troubled sea. He has 10 horns and 7 heads. For the same as the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1-3. For the only difference is between the heads of the two beasts and the deadly wound on the leopard-like. As his wound is healed, it is evident that the scarlet color is a continuation of the leopard light. Says John, and his deadly wound was healed. Thus, the scarlet colored beast has 7 unharmed heads. For the 7 heads represents Christendom as they do on the leopard-like beast. But it is in the symbol of the scarlet color that they are called Babylon, as he is full of the names and blasphemy, for it verifies the fact that he represents the exceeding sinful period. Full of the name implies a period of the great multiplicity of the so-called Christian sect and blasphemy because of the rejection of the present truth, refusing to be corrected, and yet dare to call themselves by the name of the Yeshua Christians.
That's wrong.
For the 10 horns denote the same as on the beast before it, meaning a universal system. If the heads of the leopard-like beast represent religious organization, then the scarlet color embraces the entire present civilization, both civil and religious, horns and heads. Note that the dragon of the Revelation 12:3 has the crowns on his heads, not on his horns. It has been previously explained that when the crowns appear on the heads, it denotes a religio-political system. But if they appear on the horns, it reveals that the state is independent of the church. It will be noticed that the scarlet-colored beast is crownless, as the nondescript of Daniel 7:7-8, for the 10 horns in the first stage of the nondescript beast, representing imperial Rome, had no crowns because they had received no kingdom as yet. But in his second stage, after the fall of the Imperial Rome, in the reality, they should have been crowned, for the little horn having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking a great thing, a combination of a horn